I want us to talk about sin and Palm Beach County and Palm Beach Leagues. I guess I have your attention. I get you somewhere in this. You may be a sinner. If you've reached an age of accountability, I know you are. Most of you live in Palm Beach County. We've got some others from Martin County, but you can just substitute Martin County for this part of the lesson if you want to. And then Palm Beach Leagues. How do these three things interrelate? Well, take first a look at 2 John, and beginning in verse 6, because here is one of the most overlooked passage in the religious world and in the world in which you and I find ourselves. You look at verse 6, where John, the disciple of love, says, now, if you want to know what love is, read verse 6. Sometimes we have the attitude and relationship to love that because God is such a loving God that we ought not to pay much attention to what He says, and to begin to talk about obeying God is just to deny and to de-emphasize the importance of love. But you look at verse 6, and verse 6 says, you know what love is? Love is the fulfilling of what Jesus said when He defined friendship. Jesus said, you're my friends if you do whatever I tell you to do. Friendship with God is involved in obedience. And Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 15, the other is John 15, 14, but John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the disciple of love says, now look, if you love the Lord, you've got to pay attention to what He's asked you to do. And look at the verse as it says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandment. This is the commandment that, as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Love is walking according to His commandments. In the plural there, by the way, notice the S on the word commandment. Sometimes some individuals read this passage and said, well, the only commandment the Lord ever gave was to love. Well, that's not the discussion here. The discussion here is not whether we love the Lord or not, and by that we just mean have just a warm, fuzzy feeling and say, Jesus, I love you. John says, this is love, that you do what I tell you to do. And then he says, but you understand that there are individuals who do not understand that. And they're trying to deceive individuals. They do not want them to understand what love is. And so there are deceivers and there are false Christs that are there who are saying, who are not saying that to love the Lord is to obey the Lord. And he describes those individuals as the Antichrist. I know there's a lot of controversy in our day and a lot of people talking a lot about Antichrist. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. But it's hard to misunderstand what the Antichrist is in this passage. The deceivers and the false teachers that were in the world were those individuals who were there in the first century. They were Antichrist. And they were trying to deceive individuals from doing what John says in verse 6 you ought to be doing, and that is loving the Lord and doing what He says. But look again in verse 8 when he says, now look to yourself. Do not lose the things we work for, but that you might receive a full reward. Then he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, this individual does not have God. Now, if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, if you really love the Lord and do what the Lord says, you have both the Lord, you both have both the Father and the Son. You have both of them. But if you do not pay attention to the teachings of Jesus, then you do not have the Father. And I understand that to say that, somebody says, well, that just sure is negative, and we ought to just talk about loving God and being kind and compassionate. Absolutely. But we've got to define love like the Bible defines love. And this passage really states clearly what is involved in this. But to develop the lesson, we need to understand the road we're going to go down this morning. We're going to talk about what is sin. We're going to talk about sin in Palm Beach County. Then we're going to talk about sin and Palm Beach Lakes. But now let's turn our attention to this matter of what sin is. The word sin is found, the most commonly used word for sin, is found nearly 240 times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word is harmatia, and you don't have to remember that, but you'll pay yourself rich dividends if you'll remember the definition of the word. It is the word that literally means to miss the mark. Now, suppose I had a bow and arrow, and over there on that wall over there is a target. Now, if I can borrow your imagination, there's one of those targets that are over there. I pull the arrow back. I aim it at the mark that I'm trying to hit. And sin, harmatia, says, I missed the mark. The arrow, instead of going toward the target, veers to the right or to the left, or goes up and down, goes in one direction or the other, and it misses the target. You understand what sin is? Here I am trying to live my life. Here I am trying to serve the Lord. Here I am, that individual who's trying to see what the Lord wants me to do. I love the Lord. I'm trying to understand His commandments. I aim my life toward that target. But because I may have misaimed my life, or because of distractions that come along in my life and I forget about the importance of trying to hit the target, what sin is that in my life, instead of having aimed at the heart of the target, I miss the target. That's one of the most graphic definitions and description of what sin is. Now, think of any sin that's in the Bible, and think of the application of that sin in the Bible, and you'll have an understanding of why this word, a unbelievably graphic word, is used to describe sin. There are more words in the Bible to describe sin. There are other ways of describing it. But the most common used word in the Bible to describe sin literally means to miss the target. That's what sin is. Now, there's another way of defining sin, and that is to go beyond the teaching. Look in 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, he doesn't have God. You see, it is sinful for me to go beyond the target. Whenever I fail to listen to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, sin is involved. I love the American Standard rendering of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, where the American Standard in that passage says, these things I've written unto you, that you may learn not to think beyond that which is written. That's what sin is. Here is that which is written. I look at that which is written, and for whatever reason, I think beyond that which is written. Same principle as missing the target. The target is the Word of God. But we need to understand that when I think outside the divine box that God has given to us, that's sin. There's liberty in Christ as we read this book. But there are boundaries in this book, and when I get beyond those boundaries, sin is involved. When I think above that which is written, sin is involved. And then there's the other word that's used here, and a third way of looking at it is that sin is the transgression of the law. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, this is the King James, whoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. I don't know if you know the word egress, meaning to go out. I don't know if you know the word regress, which means to go backwards. But the gress part of both of those words has to do with movement. To transgress means to go across. You want to know what sin is? Sin is when I transgress the laws of God. I guess you would understand it if we talk about trespassing. We understand what that is. No trespassing. Here is that property that belongs to an individual, and they put up a sign outside that says, no trespassing. That's the concept. Here I am inside the teachings of Christ. Here I am inside the box that God has given to me. And if I transgress, if I go outside that which God has given, that's what sin is. Now, there's another way to graphically illustrate this. Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And think about the relationship they had with God in that beautiful, beautiful garden. There was nothing that stood between God and mankind. I love that expression that describes whenever they had sin, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. I love that concept of before sin was there in the world, they were there walking with God in the cool of the evening when no sin was involved. No barrier. They truly were children of God. They truly had fellowship with God. They truly had a beautiful relationship with God. But God, because He gave them the ability to make free choice, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, of every tree that is in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it you'll die. You understand what happened to that relationship? When sin entered the world, there was a barrier between God and man. What had happened? They'd missed the mark. What had happened? They'd gone beyond the teachings of Jesus. What had happened? They had transgressed the law of God. Now understand this from that very first sin. That all they did was take fruit off of a tree and ate it. Some way, somehow, Satan has given us in our minds the concept of really, really bad sins and sins that are not so bad. But that's not the nature of it. The first sin that there ever was in the world was sin that was as innocent as eating fruit off of a tree. We've got to get that fixed in our mind. Because what happens is, sin separates man from God. You talk about Adam and Eve inside the Garden of Eden and the day after they ate of that fruit. That very same day, there was an angel with the flaming sword standing at the east gate of that garden, and they never again walked with God in the cool of the evening in a world without sin. Sin separates. And if we're going to understand what the very nature of sin, we've got to understand that it separates. Sin brings one into bondage. The Bible talks about that of that which a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. That's what sin does. And you and I need to understand the unbelievable power of sin. That sin which becomes seemingly some innocent little thing that allows us to say to those around us, oh, don't worry about me, I can handle this in the small measure, begins to wrap itself around us and wrap itself around us, so we are bond servants of sin. And that's biblical. Slaves of unrighteousness, bondservants. And the other thing that sin does is it brings death. The death of the body is whenever the human spirit is separated from the body of flesh. James says the body without the spirit is dead. A dead body is a body without a spirit. What's a dead spirit? A dead spirit is a spirit without God. And so the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, talks about those who were dead in sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about the young widow who is dead while she lives. There's a spirit. But there's a spirit separated from God. And the very day that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, that very day they were separated from God, and that very day they were spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and sins. Can we talk about sin in Palm Beach County? Can we talk about the prevalence of sin in this very county? We've heard of the gentlemen's clubs, have we not? Like Rachel's down on 45th Street. I don't know if you've noticed that that it's not 45th Street. It's right across the interstate. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. All that is in the world that separates men from God. A stone's throw, as it were, from this building. Folks, there's reality to the sin in Palm Beach County. And the lasciviousness and the drinking that is involved in clubs like that is right on our doorsteps. How far do you live from this building? You live a mile from the building? 2 miles from the building? How far do you live from this building? Wonder how many sexual predators there are within 2 miles of this building. You can go on the internet and find that out. And I had two different numbers for this as I did this. I had both 41 and 31. Do you know how many sexual predators there are? There are at least 30 sexual predators within 2 miles of this building. There are 7 within 1 mile of the building. Sin in this county? How many do you reckon there are within 3 miles of the building? You're talking about the reality of the sin that's in the world. Here are those sexual predators. Rapists. Those who sexually abuse little children. And this is far more of the numbers. Majority of the numbers of those who sexually abuse. Within 3 miles of the building. You live 3 miles from the building? When you leave the building today and you drive a half mile down here to Leo Lane. Well, get over to David's house. It's about a mile away, just over there in Woodbine. Within 3 miles of this building, there are 60 sexual predators. You live within 5 miles of the building? As you leave the building today, look at your speedometer, and when you're 5 miles away, recognize that within that radius, there are 137 sexual predators. You want to talk about sin in Palm Beach County? You want to look at one sin that is a part of our society, and you look at those numbers that are there, folks, it's frightening. It's frightening. Those of us who are older can remember walking home from school. Sometimes 2 or 3 miles. No danger at all. Some athletic event, you walk, send the kids and they walk down there. Your children are not even safe in the malls because of the sin in Palm Beach County. Now, add other sins to this. Add all the bitterness and hate and vulgarity and profanity and blasphemy of everything that is sacred and society's mocking of those Christians who are fundamental in their beliefs and still believe the Bible. People are laughing at you because the Lord, you believe with all of your heart, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And you're the object of sneers and jokes throughout all of our society. I don't have to tell you of the reality of sin in this county. You know where the closest abortion clinic is? Oh, it's hidden. Oh, just right down here on 45th Street. Where day after day, within 2.5 miles of this building, babies are sucked out of the wombs of their mother and thrown into the garbage. If you think God does not see when that individual takes that fruit off that tree, how the God of heaven must feel when the fruit of the womb is taken and flushed down the toilets. You see, that's where Palm Beach Lakes comes in. That's why it's important for us to understand sin in Palm Beach Lakes. Because the world is lost. We could have taken this last point and amplified it and given other illustrations. Look at the headlines. Listen to the news tonight. Hear of all the crime there is in our society. And then think of the anguish of heart of the people you go to school with. Think of how unhappy. Think about what's happening in their homes. Think about the people in the workplace. And the bitterness that they have and the ungodly attitudes they're manifesting again and again. And the spirit of covetousness. And covetousness is idolatry. And the craving after material things that has consumed the world around us. And the world is lost. And the tragedy is the world doesn't know it's lost. I made up a word to describe the next point. I put it in quotation marks. But not only is the world lost, it's becoming loster. It's more evil than it was 10 years ago. And this county that was separated from God has fewer righteous people in it than it used to have. That's reality. Think about the numbers that we gave in the early part of this lesson and recognize that just as an overwhelming evidence of the lostness of our world. But the reality is that the only hope this world has is the church. They're not going to fix it in Washington. You're not going to pass enough laws in this land to deal with sin and ungodliness. And the only hope this world has is the church. and by the church. That's not some theoretical circle drawn on a board to represent the church. The only hope this world has, the folks that are sitting here right now. It's his only hope. And I cannot touch the lives of everybody in this county as much as I wish I could. But there are those people that I will meet this week. There are those people with whom I work. There are those people with whom I am in school. There are those individuals that I can meet this week. And I can say to them, you know, there's something better in life. There's a better way of living. And in a world where there's a lot of despair, we need to help individuals understand that there is hope. And that's really what our gospel meeting is all about. It's for us, one person at a time, to try to begin to impact the world. Now don't get filled with despair. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And a little leaven. And the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, Jesus said. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump. But it'll never happen until we begin to feel a personal responsibility to the lost world. When I was a student many years ago, half a century ago at Freed Hardeman, I heard a phrase, and I've never forgotten it. It's been a driving statement in my heart, in my life, in my soul. It's embedded in my heart, in the depths of my heart. The world is lost, and so is Dan, if he does not do all he can to save the lost world. The world is lost, and so are we. If we don't do whatever we can. And that's why this week, as we head toward the gospel meeting, is one of the most important weeks we'll live this year, if not the very most important. Let's bow together. Father, we've been made sober as we thought about these things. And we pray, Father, that the awe and the alarm that we feel within our hearts about the presence of immorality and ungodliness around us will create a great heightened realization of the obligation we have. God, may we not let an opportunity pass this week that we're not conscious of how evil our world is, and that the hope of the world lies in those of us who are His children. Father, sometimes we've been negligent. Sometimes we've been fearful. Sometimes we've been too busy. Forgive us, Lord, as your children, and help us from this day forward to understand the lost world has no hope but us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to sing this song of invitation. Are you lost? You're part of this world that's out there? You can let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away this very morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you need to change your life. And that change of life is called repentance. You need to repent. In fact, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, if you don't repent, you'll perish. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, you can be washed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven of every wrong you've ever done in your life, altogether forgotten by God. Acts 22, 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. And then He'll add you to the kingdom, to the body, to the church. And He says to you, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing.